Welcome to Living as a Jew, a daily lesson in the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, a project of the Chabad of Kerry Jewish Center. Happy Tu Bishvat, everyone, was suggested every now and then. When there is a special date on the calendar that involves unique halachis and laws, we should break from our regular cycle and cover some of the laws associated with that particular holiday. And since today is Tu Bishvat, which is the birthday of trees, there is a tradition of eating many types of fruit on Tu Bishvat. Some go as far as having a Kabbalistic Tu Bishvat Seder featuring 15 or even 30 fruits. Let us cover some of the unique halachis about the blessing on fruits. I should note that Tu Bishvat has another ramification in halacha. How we determine the birth date of a tree affects its status of arla, the fact that we're not supposed to eat from a tree the first 3 years, as well as other halachis that we, God willing, will cover later in the cycle. But for today, the halachis of the Borei Pri Ha'etz blessing. That is said over eating fruit. First off is the important halacha that the definition of ha'etz, a tree in this context, is a perennial tree where the stem stays on throughout the year. It also is a tree that does not lay too close to the ground. And so apples, grapes, nuts, with the exception of peanuts and figs, are considered fruits. Strawberries, watermelon, and bananas, for instance, are not. We will cover more of these halachas later in the year. So at my house this evening, we had a beautiful fruit platter. And within the types of fruits, there was pineapple. Now, pineapple does not grow from a tree, it grows from the ground. The blessing is hadama. So the pineapple is sitting together with figs and grapes and dates and papaya and mango. We had a delicious Tu Bishvat tray in front of us. The question is, which order do we make these blessings in? So the first off is, generally speaking, ha'etz is a more special, more unique blessing. It comes before hadama. And the reason for that is everything that grows on a tree technically also grows in the ground. However, something that grows on the ground, like a potato, does not grow from a tree. And so we want to begin with the more specific blessing. Ha'etz comes before the hadama. So I would eat that pineapple last. Within fruit, we always give precedence to the fruit that the land of Israel is blessed in. Now, there are seven species, to be sure, that Israel is blessed with. The first two are not fruit, though that would be wheat and barley. But the next five, the olives and the dates and the figs and the pomegranates and the grapes, being that those are from the Shivas Haminim, the seven special species, we would first make a blessing on that. Only afterwards, the other fruits, in my case, the mangoes and the papayas that were also on the tray. And we are not done. Within those five, there is also an order. If we go back to the verse in Devarim that describes that Hashem is bringing you into a land of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, and pomegranates, and then it repeats again, a land of oil olives and honey dates, we give precedence to those fruits that are closest to the word Eretz, closest to the word land. The hierarchy is therefore olives, dates, grapes, figs, pomegranates. And again, only after eating these five fruits would we move on to the other fruits. Now, we would not be making another ha'etz blessing if all of the fruit was in front of us when we began our meal. Rather, the question is which comes first, which do we actually make the bracha on? I should note there is a secondary opinion that all of this would apply if one liked both of those fruits the same. But according to this opinion, if there was a particular fruit or perhaps even vegetable on that platter that you were thrilled to eat that one is more chaviv, that could go first. This is a valid opinion in halacha that can be followed. Generally speaking, though, we go according to which one of those is the Shivat Haminim and amongst within the seven species, the order that I described. If it comes to two fruits that both are not from the Shivat Haminim and you like both of them more or less the same, we say the bracha on the food that is shalem, complete, as opposed to the one that was cut up. We'll finish with the teaching of Chassidus. Well, that might be the order as far as the legal requirement to make a bracha. When it comes to the Kabbalah, there is indeed another way to rank the order of fruits. And that would be just how thick and difficult to penetrate the shell is. Keep in mind throughout the teachings of Chassidus, that word for shell or peel, kalipa, is used to describe the superficial layer of everything. Whether it is a person, the kalipa would be our more animalistic tendencies that cover our godly soul. Whether it is in creation, the kalipa would be the part of that item that seems independent from God, while the essence of the item is no more than a reflection of Hashem and will be its true purpose to be utilized in the world. Of course, the same is true of food. Deep down, food is an opportunity to elevate something physical and to use it for holiness, or at the very least, to give us the energy to live healthy lives as Jews. But of course, there is a kalipa component of food as well, and it is simply how it tastes, how it makes us feel right now. And so Hashem made a world where the essence of everything is hidden by a certain kalipa. And just as the peel and husk appear before the fruit itself, the same is true in the process of our growth. First, we grow up with our more biological and animalistic tendencies, and only afterwards do we begin to uncover our more godly self. Certainly the same is true when we look around at the world. What jumps out at first is the superficial layer. It takes a deeper lens, a Torah lens, to peer into something's true godly purpose. But there is also a positive side to the klipa. The klipa, of course, protects the fruit. And similarly, in our divine service, those parts of ourselves that seem to be more animalistic, not only are they our survival tendencies, but later in life, we can harness those for good as well. When later in life, we reveal the fruit, we will be able to also use the more external dimensions of our personality for the good. And so there are some fruits that have a very tough nut to crack, or at least a very thick peel to uncover. And the peel is not edible. It protects the fruit, but these are still negative spiritual aspects that are the source for the good that may come afterwards. Then the higher ranking fruits are the ones where the peel itself is edible. Not only does it protect, but it is transformed. The same, by the way, would work for the seeds. The highest level of a fruit would be one that we can eat from the outside to the inside. A blueberry comes to mind. Interestingly enough, in Kabbalah, the etrog is ranked highest of them all because the bark itself have the fragrance of the fruit.